Today's Shir Masecht is Vachem Daf Lamed Dalad, and we will begin in Daf Lamed Dalad on Aleph, 11 lines from the top. Gufa, Tamei She'ochel Basa Kodesh Lifnei Zrika. If somebody who's Tamei ate Basa Kodesh before the Zrika Saddam. So we have a Machlokes with Shlokesh and Rabbi Yochanan. Shlokesh Amar Loiker, Shlokesh says that there's a Chi of Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan on the other hand holds Eina Loiker. It's Osir. As Rishonim point out, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that it's certainly usur to eat Basar Kodesh, even though there was no Zrikas Adam, but there wouldn't be Malkus for it. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, in explaining this Gemara, the Machlokes between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is in a case of Tumas Haguf, where the person is Tomei, Ava B'Tumas HaBasar, if the meat itself is Tomei. Says the Gemara, everybody will agree to rehakel that there's Malkus. Why? Why in a case where the Basar is Tamei, even though there was no Zrika yet, is the Halacha that there's Malkus? Says the Gemara, the Amar Krah, because the Pasuk teaches us, v'habasar, and from that word we learn, l'rabbis eitzim l'vayna, to teach us that the wood that's on the Mizbeach, and the l'vayna that's on the Mizbeach, the lab ne'echilinu. Certainly, they're not food. People don't eat eitzim. People don't eat levina. But fila hachi, and even though they're not food, rabbinu kra. And as the Rishonim explain, this concept that the Gemara is now teaching us, that eitzim levina, even though they're not food, are makabel tuma, is because of a special rule of chibas hakodesh. Something that's Kodesh has a special category. And as the Rishonim point out, actually, this Pasuk is teaching us two very distinct rules. One rule it's teaching us is that something that's not food, as far as Kodesh is concerned, is going to be considered food, Eitzim Levoina. And another rule that we learn from this Pasuk, a concept that we discussed when we learned the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, we know from our travels through Shas that a food is not susceptible, it's not mukhsh l'kabel tuma, until it becomes wet with one of the Zayin Mashkim. There's a new halacha, the chibas ha-kodesh, food that's kodesh, machshartam is considered mukhsh l'kabel tuma, even if we don't have actual liquid touching it. In fact, the Mefarshim asked, if, as we just learned, we're learning two distinct halachas from this Pasuk, how can we learn two very different rules from the same Pasuk? So one teretz that I saw, which is the simplest way of understanding, is that the Torah is teaching us ve'habasar, the word is superfluous, so from the word habasar we learn one rule, and from the extra vav, we learn another rule. Another pshat that I saw, is that indeed the halacha, the second halacha that I just quoted, of chibas ha-kodesh mechshartam, that Kodesh is always considered mukshar, that's a din daraisa. But the din that food is, that everything is considered food, that's only a drabonim. But perhaps we'll see another pshat soon. Continue the Rishonim to point out, again, based on what we're learning in this sugya, Taisa says that if we're learning from Eitzim Levoina, that all food is considered complete as far as Hechsher Tumah. All food is, we have a concept of Chibas HaKodosh Machshartan, says Taisvis, that's only by real food. But if it's a liquid, it's not considered, we don't have this concept. Why? So there's two ways that the Achroinim I saw explain what Taisvis says. The Stipler I saw seems to understand that what Taisvis is saying is that we're following a model that the Torah established, that by Kodesh, even something which isn't for a food is considered a food. That model we're going to follow, but it has to be follow the model. It has to be solid, not a liquid. The Midrash Tavid seems to learn a little differently. He says it has to be something that satiates. A food that satiates is a solid. Liquids don't satiate. And therefore, this thing will only be by solids, not by liquids. So, the way the Mefarshim explained, What the Gemara is teaching us here is that even though the food is not real food, yet the Torah says it's treated like food. Similarly, basar of a carbon, even though it's before the zrika, it still will be considered food as far as the halacha that if a tamei eats it, he gets malchus. Why? So Rav Chaim Briska seems to explain. Rav Chaim Briska seems to explain that it's sort of a gezeiras hakasef. But I saw a very beautiful vort from the Taras HaKadosh. The Taras HaKadosh explains the Gemara as follows. What is the Torah teaching us? Going back to the halacha that I just mentioned, that food by Kodesh, even though it's not mukshar, it's considered mukshar. So it says a poshta vort. You know, we speak about this rule, it's a rule that comes up very often, that food to become tameh has to be mukshal kabal tameh. It has to become wet. Why? Why is that rule? The rule is that a food is not considered a food. It's not considered complete until it becomes wet. When it becomes wet, it's considered complete. Says the Taras HaKadosh. The Chibas HaKadosh. The fact that the food is Kadosh makes it considered complete, even though it wasn't yet complete. So he says the same thing by the basar before the zrika. Yes! It's before the zrika. And before the zrika, it isn't yet complete. But Kodesh has special quality that even though it's not yet physically complete, you didn't have the zrika, the chivas HaKodesh can make it complete. And that's why you have this comparison. The Rav Amar, Rav has a different version. Machlaikis b'tumas haguf. The machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is only when the person is tamei. Aval betumas basar, if the basar becomes tamei and it's before the zrika, derihako ain't a loika. Everybody agreed there wouldn't be malchus here. My tama, why? Kiv the lekilin above a tumas alav and nichrasa. Since the pasuk that says a tumas alav and nichrasa is only speaking after the zrika. So then the pasuk of Abasa Shiiga Bachal Tameh Lo Yoichol that we learned in the previous year is the pasuk that teaches us that somebody is not allowed to eat basar that's Tameh even before the Zrika, also there will not be an Einish Malkus at that point. Ask the Gemara, but haven't we just learned from the concept of Abasar that L'Rabbis Eitzim L'Voina that Kodesh has a special rule that before that even though it isn't complete, again using the lumdus that we explained, that even though it isn't complete, the halacha considers it complete, answers the Gemara, you cannot compare the case of Eitzim Levoina to the case of Basar before the Zrika. And again, we're going to follow the Taras HaKodesh's approach to the Gemara. Till now, how have we been learning? Is the pshat in this special din that the Torah was mechadish be'etzim levoina. The way we've been learning it is that the Torah was mechadish, the Torah taught us that even though a food is not complete, it's considered complete. And just like be'etzim levoina, which are not real food, the Torah considers them food, so should be the halacha by basar before the zrika. Says the Gemara, that's not what makes etzim levoina a food, even though we know they're not really food. It's a whole different concept. There's a special rule where Eitzim Levoina are considered food. Why? Because they come in contact with a Kli Sharis. Machloikus Rishonim, what is the Kli Sharis that the Gemara means? Some Rishonim explain that they had special tools that they used to push the wood around on the Mizbeach. Those tools, as all tools in the base of Migdash, were klisharis, and by those tools touching the Eitzim and the Levoina, that's how they become Kodesh. Others explain that we know we're going to discuss this later in the Masechta. They were very careful not to use wood in the base of Migdash that was wormy. And they had special kalim that they would chop the wood with and examine that the wood had no worms in it. Those kalim were Kli Kodesh, and by those kalim being used for the Eitzim, that's how they became Kodesh. But a basar that did not yet have zrika isn't on that level, and therefore, even though we're learning that Eitzim Levayna have the special chumrah that we've been explaining, we can't extend that to basar kaidish before the zrika. Again, hachamai skinen, the kaidish katshu bekeli, that the Eitzim Levayna became kaidish because they came in contact with klisharis, the nas kamisha karvah kamatirov, that the halacha looks at it as if it became complete, the tanan, kol shiyesh lamatirim, any part, anything that's put on the mizbeach that has matirim we always explain means the zrika dam, is only mishakir of a matirav. Only when the zrika is done does it attain the level of kaidish. Only kol she'ele matirim, like eitzim levoina, there the halacha will be mishakadosh b'keili. So they have different times or different ways that they become kadosh. And therefore, says Rava, everybody will in agreement that basar before the zrika, there may be an isser, but there is no chiv malchus until the zrika, because the zrika is what gives it the full level of kaidish that it should have a chiv malchus if somebody tummy eats it. Itmar says the Gemara, Hamala Avery behemet tamei al gabim mizbeach. If somebody takes an animal that's not kosher, a purely non-kosher animal, puts on the mizbeach. Rish Lakish amaloika. Rish Lakish says there's malchus for that. Rabbi Yochanan amaloika. Rabbi Yochanan says ain't aloika. Why? Rish Lakish amaloika. The Torah specifies that what kind of animal should be used for carbon. Tzoyin abakar, we know, are kosher animals. So therefore, Rish Lakish extrapolates tahiri in only an animal that's tahar may be used to may aloi. And since this is a lav that is extrapolated from asay, teaches us Rish Lakish, the lav haba mechlal asay, that a lav that's extrapolated from asay has the din of a lav, that you should get loikanov, you should get malchus for it. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, and again, as I said earlier, Rabbi Yochanan will agree that certainly it's usser to put on the mizbeach a non-kosher animal. He only will say the ain loikanov. Malchus you wouldn't get. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, lav above mechlal essay, if it's a lav that is not an explicit lav in the Torah, it's only a lav by deduction, it's not considered a lav that there should be malchus for. Ain like an lav. Ask the Gemara, Mas Rabbi Yirmiyah, the pasuk that teaches us about what kosher animals may be eaten and what kosher animals may not be eaten. The pasuk says, oisa toichelu, v'loi behemet hameyo. The Torah identifies what are the kosher animals. We know that kosher animals are animals that have the simanim, chew the cud, have split hoofs. And the Torah uses the words ois techelu, which again we could easily extrapolate v'loi behemet tameya. But, and this way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the Torah says another pasuk explicitly telling us that there's a lav for eating non-kosher animals. Why does the Torah have to teach us a special lav that there's a lav for eating non-kosher animals? If Reish Lakish is correct, the lav haba mechlal asay has the status of a lav, so we already have the lav from the words oisa teichelu. Why does the Torah have to explicitly tell us a lav for eating a non-kosher animal? It's because if the entire lav were based on a lav haba mechlal asay, that isn't considered a lav. So isn't this clearly a raya that a lav haba mechlal asay is not considered a lav? So how could Rish Lakish have said that lav haba mechlal asay is a lav, and that's why if somebody chas v'shalom puts a non-kosher animal on the mizbeach, he gets malchus? V'lav haba mechlal asay. Therefore, because of this question, the Gemara has Rav Yaakov has a whole different way of quoting the machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish. Amar Rav Yaakov Rav Yirmiyah bat Achlifa Asbrolach. I will explain to you the machloek between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is a different subject altogether. The Avery behemet tameya, if somebody put on a non-kosher animal on the mizbeach, the kula amaloi pligi, there is no dispute that there is no chiyav malchus. As I said before, vad it's asr, but there is no chiyav malchus. Ki pligi b'chaya. We know that even in kosher animals, there are two categories in animals. There's a behema and there's a chaya. A behemoth is a domesticated animal. A chai is a non-domesticated animal. All the animals that could be brought on the mizbeach are only domesticated animals. V'achi yitmar. Rabbi Yochanan says that if somebody brought a carbon of a kosher chaya. His over basay, Rabbi Shlakish Oimer ain't over b'loy klum. There's no iser. And the Rishonim make a very interesting observation. Very interesting observation. In the previous Gemara, in the previous Girsa of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Rishlakish, Rishlakish was the Machmer, and Rabbi Yochanan was the Mekel. Rishlakish said there's a Chi of Malkus for bringing a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yochanan said there's no Chi of Malkus. The Gemara asked a question on it, and now the Gemara comes up with a new pshat. But in the new pshat, Rabbi Yochanan is the Machmer, who says if you bring a Chaya, kosher Chaya on the Mizbech, you over a say, and Rishlakish says you're fine. Interesting, because usually when the Gemara changes the pshat, it's still usually consistent that the machmer is the machmer and the mekel is the mekel. Here, besides that the Gemara is changing pshat, the machmer became the mekel and the mekel became the machmer. Another interesting machloikus rishonim. Rish Lakish says over b'loy klum, that if somebody puts a chay on the mizbeach, he's not over anything. What does that mean? So I saw no less than three different opinions in the rishonim. One opinion in the rishonim is that according to Rish Lakish, we, the Torah, tells us what type of animal you're supposed to bring for carbon. Of course, you have to follow the direction of the Torah. But if somebody is donating a carbon, according to that version, Rish Lakish says you could go donate a chaya. That's one version. A different version, as Rish Lakish, of course, agrees that you should always only bring a behema. Rish Lakish is saying that let's say there is no behema available and you need to bring a carbon, then you could bring a chaya. A third version, Rish Lakish agrees that of course you're not allowed to bring a chaya as a carbon. The Torah says, tzayinu bakar. The only thing Rish Lakish is saying is that if you brought the carbon, you didn't do an aveira. Which the Shita asks on that version, on that opinion, an obvious question. We've learned, and we will learn many times, there's a concept of chulin ba'azara. You can't just bring an animal to the azara, it has to be kaidish. So if Rish Lakish is agreeing, asks the Shita, that this animal is not considered a carbon, you just didn't get an aveira, why isn't considered chulin ba'azara? Says the Shita, Amar de B'chiddush. The Shita says, when is it considered chulin ba'azara? Only an animal that could theoretically be a carbon, if you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring it to the Azara, you bring it to the Mizbeach, without being Magdashit, you have a problem with chulin ba'azara. But if the animal has no connection to the Mizbeach, it's a chaya, you can't have an issa chulin ba'azara. And the Gemara explains the basis of the Machlokes. Rav Yochanan over Basay, because the Pirate says, Tzoyinu Bokar, Behema in, Bechay Eloi. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, as we just finished explaining, said, if you bring a kosher chay on the Mizbeach, Eina over Beloi Klum, Hu Lemitzvah. It's only telling you, like we explained, Lemitzvah, but not that there's an Aveira if you brought a chay. Ask the Gemara, Masav Rava. Rava asked a question in Rish Lakish's opinion, based on a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ilunama, if the Torah only used the words carbon Lashem, behema, hayisi oimer, I would say if those were the words of the Torah, chai b'kla behema. That when the Torah says behema, it doesn't mean specifically a domesticated animal. Even a non-domesticated kosher animal should be acceptable to be used as a carbon. For we find such a precedent. Kinyan shenemar, the Torah uses the words zoisa behema, the Torah uses the word behema, and the Torah goes on to mention the shetoichlu, shosek, sovim, sarizim, Ayel tzvi, achayis. So see, when the Torah uses the words behema, we're not limited to domesticated animals. It can even be non-domesticated animals. Tamaloymer, that's why the Torah says, bok vitzoyn amarati loch. I strictly said bok vitzoyn, v'loy chaya. Yochel lo yavi, continues the Braisa, you shouldn't bring a chaya. Vim hevi, but if you did bring a chaya for carbon, a chaya kshera, kosher, it's going to be acceptable, says the Gemara, Holomaz Adoima, because what would I compare it to, says the Braisa? Le Talmud Sh'amaloi Rabbi. I would compare it to a case where Talmud was told by his Rebbe, Hevel Echitim, please bring me wheat. The Hevel Echitim Besairim. And instead of bringing wheat, the Talmud brings wheat and barley. She'ena Kamav Al Dvarov. It's not considered like you're violating what your Rebbe said. El Kamaisav Al Dvarov. You're only doing what your Rebbe said, plus more. That's why it continues the Braisa. Tamaloyma, Bokavitsoin. The Torah says the word Bokavitsoin a second time. to emphasize, and like we have a rule that we learned many times, shana lo vakas of la'akav, bak v'tzayin amarati loch v'loi chaya. Strictly bak v'tzayin, strictly behema, strictly domesticated animal, not chaya. Before we go further, Taisus asked the obvious question. The Gemara, beautiful Taisus, it's a short Taisus, there's two lines from the bottom, but it says so much. The Gemara is comparing the case of somebody who brings a chaya to the case where the Rebbe told you to bring wheat, and instead of bringing wheat, you brought wheat and barley. How could you compare the two cases, asked Taisus. In the case where the Rebbe told you to bring barley, to bring wheat, so you brought the wheat, but besides bringing the wheat, you also brought barley. So that's why it's not a problem. But in the case where here, the Rebbe told you, Hashem told you to bring a behemoth, you didn't bring a behemoth, you brought a chaya. So you didn't do what the Rebbe told you. So how do we compare the two cases? Says Taisus, a gewaldige Taisus. What would be the case? Taisus says, what would be the case if the Rebbe told you, do whatever you want. Whatever you think is good, do. And you would bring wheat, it would be fine. If you would bring barley, it would be fine, right? Because the Rebbe told you, do what you want. What word does the Torah use when bringing a carbon? The Torah uses the word Lirt Sinai. Whatever you want. So I would think that Hashem is telling you, you want a behema? Behema. You want a chaya? Chaya. Says the Gemara that no. Says the Braisa. The Torah repeats the word behema v'tzayin two times to teach us behema v'tzayin and not chaya. Why? Continues the Braisa. Because ha'olam azadayma, what is it truly comparable to? The Talmud Shomel Rabbi. A case where the Rebbe tells him, Al tavi al chitim, he emphasizes, I want only chitim. And you go and you bring not only chitim b'sayrim. It's not just that you did more than your Rebbe asked. You violated what your Rebbe said. Your Rebbe emphasized, I only want wheat. If you brought wheat, but you brought barley along, you haven't followed the instruction. And that's why it's tiyufta, apostle. And that's why it's apostle, tiyufta, resh lakish, tiyufta. Here we see that you're not allowed to bring a chayim. So I have to tell you over a beautiful verse from Rabbi Chanan. Our Gemara is teaching us the why is the halacha that you must bring strictly a behemoth, strictly tzayin u'bakar, is because the Torah repeats the word tzayin u'bakar two times. And as we said, the rule in Kachim many, many times, shana lo vakas v'lakav. Whenever the Torah repeats something, it means that it's essential, you have to follow the rule. Ask Triple Chanan. There's a Rashbam in the Masechet Bava Basra. The Rashbam speaks about the following case. He says, a carbon mincha has to be brought from wheat flour. Unless in the few exceptions where the Torah says you should use barley flour. Says the Rashbam, the Torah doesn't say that you have to use wheat flour twice. It only says it once. So why don't we have the rule that if it's not shana lo vakasav, if the Torah didn't repeat it, it's not essential? Answers the Rashbam, the Torah doesn't have to repeat it. Wheat, a carbon mincha is wheat flour. If it's not wheat flour, it's not a carbon mincha. That's pshat carbon mincha. So asked Rabbi Chanan, just like the Rashbam said regarding a carbon mincha, he doesn't have to say twice wheat flour. It's obvious that it's wheat flour. Shouldn't the same be by a regular carbon, that the Torah says tzayin u'bakar only once, because that's a carbon. Answers Rabbi Chanan. He quotes a medrash. Why indeed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists that it has to be a behemah, not a chaya? So the medrash says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite chesed to us, says a behemah is much easier to get. It's a domesticated animal. It's amongst us. A chaya is not domesticated. It's not amongst us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you only have to bring a behemah, which is easier to get, than a chayah, which is difficult to get. So I would think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing me a favor, that I don't have to go look for a chayah. But if I have a chayah available to me, or I'm prepared to get a chayah, why not? It's not like the wheat flour. That's what the Torah had to say twice. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being nice, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was insisting. I saw a beautiful vart from the Sefer Minchas Asher. We know that the Torah speaks about the Akedah, and when Yitzchak is going with Avraham Avinu to bring the carbon, when they get to the Har Moriah, Yitzchak says to Avraham, V'ayah haseh lo'ayla. What's the words V'ayah haseh? So the Minchas Asher explains as follows. Even though we're learning now in the Gemara that you could only bring on a Mizbeach a behema, when you bring on a Bama, you could bring even a Chaya. The thing that it has to be a behema is by a Mizbeach. not by Obama. So he explains as follows. As long as Yitzchak was walking with Avram, and they were going on the road, and Yitzchak was assuming that his father is going to bring a carbon, because he had all the other things needed for a carbon, he was assuming any animal, behemoth, chai, whatever they'll find, they could bring on the Mizbeach. But now they got to the Har Moriah. The Har Moriah is the Makom Kadosh. The Makom Kadosh, we just learned, you could only bring Bak of Etzayim. So Yitzchak said to Avram, V'aya haseh. Now we can't just take any animal. It has to be a seh. V'aya haseh la'ayla. Continues the Gemara. The Kulon Shekiblu. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody possible did the Kabbalah Saddam, it should be repeated by somebody, as long as there's still dam in the neck of the animal, it should be repeated by a kosher kohen. And in this question of the Gemara that we're about to learn, there are two ways of learning, Rashi and Taisvis. I'm going to quote both Pshat, and we're going to first learn like Rashi, even though ultimately Rashi comes around to Taisvis as Pshat soon in the Gemara anyway. Which means as follows. If somebody who's disqualified from being a kohen did Zrikas Adam, he did Zrikas Adam, but there's still dam left in the neck of the animal. The Gemara's question is, could that blood be reused? Could that blood be used to do a proper Zrikas Adam? Or once somebody possible did Zrikas Adam, that animal is totally disqualified. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. In other words, the way the Mepharshim explain what Rashi's saying, in a case where Kabbalah Saddam was done improperly, the Mishnah is teaching us explicitly that as long as you still have Dama Nefesh, you could continue doing it properly. The Gemara wants to know, will the same din apply by Zrika Saddam or not? Says the Briskerov, and it's a Briskerov based on a Rav Chaim that we quoted already in our Shiurim. We're only asking about the blood in the neck of the animal. But the Gemara is not asking if there's blood left over in the cup that the Yisrael used for Zrika, that the rest of the blood should be used. The blood in the cup certainly becomes disqualified. The Gemara's question, explains the Briskerov, is if there's Dama Nefesh left in the neck. Taisvis has a whole different way of learning the Gemara. We're going to learn later in the Masechta that leftover blood, there are different categories. Sometimes the blood that's left over is called Shirayim, and the halacha is that it should be poured on the Yisoid, on the base of the Mizbeach. And sometimes the leftover blood, which is not called Shirayim, and it's poured in a special canal, a special Oma, that went out of the Azara, and actually, we'll learn in the Gemara later, that farmers used to buy that blood mixed with water and use it for fertilizer. And the Gemara's question now is, according to Taisvis, if somebody disqualified did Zrikas Adam, what would be the halacha with the leftover blood? Is it Shirayim that's poured on the Yisoid, or is it poured into the Oma? But again, we're going to learn like Rashi. Let's read the Gemara again. B'minei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Pasul Mashi Yosish Rayim. What will be the halacha? Can that blood be reused or not? Amalek, to which he responds, Ein Yosish Rayim El Chutz Lazman V'Chutz M'Kaymai Chayel Matz Pergulei. The only time the blood becomes disqualified is if the blood became pigle, that there was a Machshavas Chutz Lazman V'Chutz M'Kaymai. Otherwise, it could be used to do a proper Zrika. That's this version. The other Gemara says a different version of the question and answer. Rezvid Masna Hachi. This was Rezvid's version of the question and answer. B'Avinei Rish Lakshmer B'Yotan. Kais Pasul Ma'ashi Yasa Shrayim. If there was a kais that was taken out of the Azara, there was blood flowed into a cup, and then that cup was taken out of the Azara, and then it comes back into the Azara, and was used for the Zrika Saddam. Will that disqualify the rest of the blood in the neck of the animal? And what are you asking me, says the Gemara, about the cup? Why don't you speak about the previous question? What would be the halacha if somebody puzzled the Zrika? Because, says the Gemara, the answer to this question travels together with the answer to that question. If somebody possible doing the Zrika makes the rest of the blood disqualified for the Zrika, then the halacha will be that kois possible nami mashu shrayim. Then having a kois that becomes possible will also make the rest of the blood disqualified for Zrika. And e possible, if we go back to the previous question and saying just because a possible did the Zrika, lo mashu shrayim, it has no effect on the rest of the blood in the neck, and we could use it to do a proper zrika, then the halacha will be the kais not possible nami loy mashash shrayim, just because this blood became possible, it has no effect on the rest of the blood. Now we have a third version of the Gemara's question, which is connected to the rule that we spoke before about. Rav Yeri medef de mas nahachi. Bar mnei abayim arova. Kais mash yasu as chaveri dochri u shrayim. We had all the dam was accepted in a cup. The simple way is that all of them was accepted in two cups. But the zrika was done all from one cup. What will be the status on the other cup? Again, let's read the words inside. Kais, if the dam of a karmachatis, for example, was accepted in two cups, and all of the zrika was done from one cup, mashiyasas chaver, what will be the status of the second cup of dam? Will be considered dochui, rejected, and if it's rejected, that blood is spilled into the amma, or is it considered shrayim? Says the Gemara, Amalei, this question is actually plucked to Rabbi Elazar Rabbanim Rav Shimon. The Tanya says the Brais, L'malo Oimer, first the Pasuk says, Estamai, Yishofech. So the Torah says just the word Estamai. The next Pasuk says, L'matu Oimer, Veskol Dama Yishofech. So one pasuk says domai, one pasuk says kol domai. Menai, what is this? How do we reconcile these two pesukim? Menai, lechatish kibol domai ba'arba kaisis. That if the dom of a karmachatis was in four cups, v'nos matan achs mizeh, matan achs mizeh, that every cup was used, some blood from every cup was used for zrik sadam, shekul on ishbachom yisoid, that all the leftover blood is poured onto the yisoid, tamaloyma, that's why the pasuk says es kol domai. All of the leftovers should go to the aside. That's called Dama Yishafich. Yochel, continues the Braisa. Nosan Abim Atanas Mekais Echad. If you did all of the Zrik Saddam from one cup, Ye Kulan Nishbachal Yisoid, the other three cups that weren't used at all, still their blood should be poured on the Yisoid. Tamaloyma Vestama. Hakeitzad, Hu Nishbach Liyisoid. The blood, the leftover blood from the cup that was used is poured onto the side, the hain, and the other ones, the shpach la'amma, is poured into the amma. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Aimer, Menayin l'chata shekibol dam ba'arba kaisis, v'nosin dal matanis m'kais echos, shekul n'shpach l'yisoid, that even if all of the dam was taken from one cup, still the blood from the other cups should be poured onto your side, tamaloyim v'skol dam yishofich. So we see, that's just to review, according to the Tanakama, if you had a cup that wasn't used at all, that's considered dochui, and it's poured into the amma. According to Rabbi Shimon, that blood is still poured to the yisoid. So the question that we asked is really machlokes tanan. The only issue left over is how will Rabbi Shimon explain the stami yishafach? What does that pasuk come to teach us? It's not coming to teach us that there's some blood that's poured in the amma, because he says the blood is always spirit poured on the side. Even though Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, again, that if you accepted the blood in numerous cups, but you only used one cup for the Zrik Saddam, the other blood still is poured on the side, he will agree that the blood that's remaining in the neck of the animal that didn't come into a cup at all, that dam goes to the amma. And that's what the Pasuk Vestama teaches us. We learned in the Mishnah three very similar cases. One case was where the dam was accepted by somebody who's kosher or kohen and gave it to apostle. Then we learned the din where the dam was taken in the right hand and then put into the left hand. And then we learned the din where the dam was an akeli, kaidish, and then it was poured into kli chol. And the obvious question is, and in all the cases, the Mishnah taught us the same thing, just make it kosher again. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, why do we need three cases to teach us essentially the same din? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. The Yashmin Apostle, if the Mishnah said that if somebody kosher did the Kabbalah and then he gave it to somebody apostle, it could be corrected. Have a Mina. Who's the person that's apostle in the Mishnah? My apostle, Tamei. That kosher coin gave it to a coin, Tardig coin gave it to a Tamedig coin. And you know what, says the Gemara? A Tamedig coin is not that terrible. Why is a Tamedig coin not that terrible? Because we have a precedent that you could use a Tamedig coin. We've spoken about it many times. The Chazal avoided Tzibur, Tumah Hutrabat Tzibur. Av small. If somebody took it in the right hand and put it into the left hand, Loi, that can't be helped. because there's never a case that you could use the left hand. But says the Gemara, V'yesh min smol de'isleich sher b'yom kippurim. The halacha is on Yom Kippur, at a certain avoidance, the Kohen Gadol used his left hand. Because the halacha is, we'll learn the Masechta the Yuma, that when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had a shovel in one hand and coals in another hand. So obviously he was using the left hand. So the left hand is not that terrible. V'yesh min abaklichol loy. A klichol can never be used. V'yesh min klichol v'shim dekhozl kachinu. A klichol, you can always be magdish. Aval hanach. You can never make a left hand into the right hand. And you can never make a tamad gekayin into tar. Eim aloy. That's why tzricha. Ask the Gemara. Not in the case where you, in the case where it fell into a klichol. Or in the case where it fell on the floor. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. Why isn't considered rejected? And since it's rejected, we have a concept that something's rejected remains permanently disqualified. Amalei Ravina Lervashi, Hacham Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifta Mishmei Derava, Hamani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah that says that we don't follow the concept of Dachui, Chanan HaMitzrihi, the Leslei Dachui. He doesn't follow the concept of Dachui. The Tanya, we learned this in Masechta Yuma. We know there were two animals, a Saul Hashem and a Saul HaZazel. The Tanya Chanan and Tzri Omer, Afilu Dam Bekois, let's say we shechted the Saul Hashem, and the dam is ready in the cup, and then the Saul HaZazel dies. So do we say that that dam is dochi? He says no. Maybe mechaveroi, just bring another animal, umezavikloi. And therefore, he doesn't agree to the concept of dochi. Similarly, in our Mishnah, he won't follow the concept of dochi. Ravashi Yomar, Ravashi says no. Ravashi says our Mishnah could be following the concept of dochi. Because beyodoi, loy have a dochi. Anything that you could correct is not dochi. And therefore, even though the dam fell on the floor, you could pick it up. Even though the dam fell into klichol, you could put it back into klichodish. And that's why it's not, anything that you could correct is not considered dochi. So ask the Karen Oira, so Yom Kippur also. Yes, the Sarla Zazel died. But you could take another animal. So why is that considered dochi? Answers the Karen Oira, beautiful pshat. What pshat where the Gemara says, kol shevi yodoi, lo have a dochi? That you could bring it back to the way it was. What do I mean the way it was? You had the dam in the Kli Kodesh, it fell out, it went into Kli Chol, you could put it back right into that Kli Kodesh. You had the dam in your right hand, put it into the left hand, you could put it back into the right hand. The animal died, you can never bring back that animal. You could bring another animal, but you can't bring it back to exactly the way it was. If you can't bring it back to exactly the way it was, that's not called Kol Shebiyodai. Amr Shaya, Kavosei, Dervashi Mistabra, Man Shamadlei, who's the man to Amr throughout Shas? This late Dechuyin. It's Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan. Rabbi Yehuda says there in that case in Yuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. V'aram Rabbi Yehuda Nishbech Adam. If the dam of the Saul Hashem gets spilled out, Yomus Mishtaleach. We say Dochuy. Or vice versa. Meis Mishtaleach. Yishafech Adam. And yet it's the same Rabbi Yehuda that says Kol Shebi Yodoy. Lo Yav Dochuy. The Tanya. Because the Brisa says Rabbi Yehuda Mikoyo. It's talking on Pesach, that the dam of the current Pesach spilled on the floor of the Ritzpah. The Zorka Zurik Achs can never get aside. It fell on the Ritzpah. How could you use that dam? And we're going to speak about this halacha more tomorrow. Shema Mina, Kosh B'yodoy, if you could correct it, lo have a dochi Shema Mina. So before we end this year, I just want to mention some very interesting points. Here we're saying that anything that could be corrected is not considered dochi. But Taisus teaches us the two places that we're going to say dochui, even though it could be corrected. The halach is that the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah speaks about berries on a hadassim. And the Mishnah paskens that if there are more berries than leaves, it's possible. I asked Taisus, you could correct it, take off the berries. So why is it considered dochui? Our Gemara says that anything that could be corrected is not considered dochui. Answers Taisus, because on Yontif, you can't correct it. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to pick the berries off the hadassim. That's why it's not considered kol shebi yodoi. Another quase is the halacha is that let's say we know that we spoke about chaya earlier. The halacha is that if you shecht a oif or a chaya, you have to do kisui hadam. So the halacha is, we learned the halacha together, that let's say that dam gets covered by, gets on, you did kisui dam and then it gets uncovered, you don't have to cover it again. It was dachui. Why? You could fix it, just cover it again. Answers Tosfos, answer the Rishonim. Because the halacha is that once you did kisui hadam, there is no chiv to do kisui hadam again. And that's why it's not considered dachui. Two more interesting points about dachui. There's a question that's asked both by the Noida Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer. They ask a gevaldig kasha. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah. This happens. You have a kosher Sefer Torah. And then they get old, the Sefer Torah, and it becomes possible. So the halacha is, you just fix where it became possible, and you can use the Sefer Torah. Ask the Chassam Sofer, ask the Noida Yehuda, I'm not worried about the part that became possible. Because that I fixed, and I fixed the Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. But during that period, when the Sefer Torah was possible, it wasn't only those words that were possible, the whole Sefer Torah became possible. So ask the Chassam Sofer, ask the Noida Yehuda, why is it not considered dachui? That the Torah, Sefer Torah became rejected. Not the part that was possible. The whole Sefer Torah became possible. One made it kosher. You fixed those words, so those words are fine. But that doesn't help you for the rest of the Sefer Torah. Answers the Shas of Tshuva Space Sharim. That here we're learning that if something is fixable, it never becomes dachui. So since the Sefer Torah, yes, those words became possible. Yes, the rest of the Sefer Torah is not usable during that time. But it's a fixable psul. Anything that's fixable is not considered dachui. Say the Chesfarim. The Chesidish Chesfarim say this. The basis of our ability to do tshuva is because what does tshuva mean? That we're really never dachui. As far as a Jew goes, as far as a Jew goes from Hashem, he's never dachui. And that's why. Why? Because kol shviyada l'sakin. A Jew could always do tshuva. And he goes on to say, beautiful pshat, that's why it's a very interesting phenomenon that everybody knows. That if the Jews, our calendar follows the lunar year. The non-Jews follow the solar year. Why do we follow the lunar year? So the Rugas HaBoisim says a beautiful word. What is the moon? The sun is constant. The sun is always there. The moon is big and then it gets smaller and smaller. But it's never completely gone. It could be dachui, it could be extremely small, but it's always going to grow back. That is what we're all about. We're never completely dachui. But there's a lamed shekasha then. When we learned, and we will learn, the sugya of dachui, one of the cases of dachui is that let's say somebody was magdish a carbon, and then that person became a mumer, became an apikiris. So the Gemara says that that carbon is dachui. Why is it dachui? The mumer has always the ability to do tshuva. So if the mumer has the ability to do tshuva, it shouldn't be considered dachui. Because our Gemara says that every time it's biyodeh l'sakin, it's not dachui. Answer the mefarshim. It's not because of the person. There's a din in the carbon. The Torah teaches us a new din, that a carbon that's owned by a person who's a mumer is possible. But it has nothing to do with the person. Because every Jew always has the ability of biyodeh l'sakin to do tshuva, and a Jew is never dachui.